Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We are going to the workers' compensation law firm of Hall & Capitas fan hotline to talk to our good friend Mike DeFabo from the Post-Gazette. Mike covers the Penguins and all things NHL. And, Mike, they're down to four hub cities for these teams. And the city once considered the odds-on favorite, Vegas, seems to be losing its grip, doesn't it?
Yeah, from what I understand, you know, Vegas had been the favorite, and we'd been talking about it pretty much every week whenever I appeared on your show, Paul. But, you know, with cases now surging in Las Vegas, there's some talk that maybe they want to move it to another location. So, you know, the question with Vegas right now is how tight can they keep that bubble? You know, because obviously when they open casinos, naturally some of the cases are surging there, or I don't know if surge is the right word. So now the four teams left in contention are Edmonton, Toronto, Las Vegas, and Chicago. And so before, we were wondering whether Canada would even get a hub city because some of their rules and regulations within that country. But now the you know, people have been waiting on this announcement, and they've been pushing it back and pushing it back, and we're hoping sometime this week to finally get a word on it.
Well, you know, I think the thing I would say, Mike, is they've got, 10 days to figure this out? I mean, is that when it starts, right, 10 days, or July 10th? Isn't that the day that the training camps begin?
Right, so they're targeting July 10th, and there's a possibility that they might push that back to July 13th, but exactly, like, you know, hub cities are one question, but they need to establish what the hub cities are before they can establish protocol, before they can establish, you know, testing procedures, before they can establish who exactly is going to be in these bubbles, before they can talk about financials and stuff like that. So they really have a lot to work out in a limited period of time before these players report to camp.
And here's the other thing, Mike, that I don't think that, you know, this is why the whole thing with Vegas is a little puzzling. In 10 to 14 days, the numbers are all going to be different. In other words, they could be surging in the other two cities and dying down in Vegas.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Like, these things are changing on a minute-by-minute basis almost. And, you know, in 2 weeks really does seem to be the threshold where when there's a change within a certain state or a city, 2 weeks later is when we notice the ramifications of those decisions. So you're absolutely right about that. But in some ways, this is why the NHL delayed this decision-making process as long as they could, because they did the number one criteria above all else, above the shininess of the facility or above the how nice the hotel might be, was they wanted to take into account the numbers within the area. So they wanted to give themselves they wanted to make this decision as late as possible.
All right. Let's try and get Mike back on the line here.
Sorry, Paul.
I think
I'm
we
back
lost
here, Paul.
Him.
Sorry, I lost you for a second.
Okay, there we are. So you were talking a little bit about, like you said, the protocols. Now, have the players and have they actually voted that they're actually going to play, or are they waiting to see what the cities are before they have their formal final vote?
Yeah, they're still in discussions right now. They have only agreed upon the 2014 format. They haven't officially agreed to come back. So, you know, there's been some talk in recent days. Different reporters are reporting different numbers or percentages of players who are concerned and might choose to opt out or maybe even derail the entire thing. You know, some reports as high as some people are saying 75% of players are worried. I don't know if it's really that high. I've seen, on the other hand, a counterpoint to that is people say these are hockey guys. Hockey guys will basically play through a broken shin or a broken bone to play in the playoffs. They're going to want to play. The culture is such that these guys have a warrior mentality. They're not going to let anything derail their chances of winning a Stanley Cup. So I don't know which one exactly to believe. Probably the truth lies somewhere in the middle. But I mean, like all these sports, Paul, until like they drop the puck for the first game, I guess nothing's for sure. Nothing's 100%.
No, not at all. And Mike, I think that's the biggest thing is nobody knows now. In terms of if you look at that number, I look at Major League Baseball, and you know what did they have? Four guys opt out, maybe something like that.
Yeah,
five guys so far.
Yeah, it's been a handful. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, four or five, you know, I think, you know, not every team has made all of their announcements. Let's say by the end of this thing, there's probably going to be, what, 10 to 12 maybe? That's why I have a hard time believing that there's 70, you know, or 30 or 40 or whatever the percentages of hockey players that are going to opt out. I mean, there will be a few, but I'll be shocked if it's much more than, like, again, a handful, 10 to 15 at the most.
Well, it's also a different scenario than Major League Baseball. You know, Major League Baseball, they have to start a brand new season, and there's no guarantee that they're going to be able to get in a whole season before, you know, hopefully a second wave doesn't hit or whatever, you know, whatever might happen. Whereas in hockey, they're already in the playoffs. Like, you're already guaranteeing that if you come back, you have a chance to win the Stanley Cup. And I have to figure that that would change your calculations, knowing that, you know, you play hockey for the chance to win a title. And if you go and you play right now, you've got that opportunity. So I think that people will look at it a little bit differently in hockey, where they're already in the playoffs, versus a sport like baseball where they have the whole season ahead of them.
Well, yeah, I mean, I could absolutely see that. I hear all these numbers that people throw around, and I'm like, man, that does not seem to be like what we're seeing in other sports in terms of the numbers of people that are going to opt out or don't want to play. So I just have a hard time buying that. Now, you look at the Penguins, you know, let's actually talk about the actual hockey. The Penguins, when we last saw them play, they were reeling a little bit. They did win their last game, if I'm not mistaken, but they played somebody like New Jersey, so I don't know if that really counts. But they were reeling. They weren't so they had lost, I think, 7 of 9 or something down the stretch. There were a lot of different theories as to why that was. Do you feel like this is a team that really this break was probably good for, and that, you know, they'll come back with energized legs and really sort of have a different team than we saw that last 3 or 4 weeks there?
I would think so. I think that this will really help the Penguins. You know, I think that their stars, like Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin, were overtaxed. I think that they were worn down from a long season. And the other big thing was they had just added a bunch of new pieces to the team, and they weren't exactly sure how all these new guys fit in. So, you know, obviously getting Jake Guentzel back is going to be a major X factor, and I think that because of that, this break has been better for the Penguins than for any other team. That alone is going to be a major factor when you get an all-star and a 40-goal scorer back. I mean, that's huge. And that's going to have ripple effect down the entire lineup. But still, you know, I was talking with someone today about Mike Sullivan, and, you know, he's up for consideration for the Coach of the Year award. And I said that you could argue that the next couple weeks are going to be the toughest coaching challenge he has, because he now has a short window to get his team playing together and playing elite-level hockey. And like I said, it's just going to be a very quick training camp. And he has to prepare his team for something that no one has ever prepared for before in a very short window. So, you know, a lot of this, I think, is going to come back to coaching. And Mike Sullivan did a very nice job of keeping the Penguins together when they suffered all those injuries. Now he's going to have to find a way to put these pieces back together, not knowing exactly what the formats – or not knowing exactly, you know, what's in store for them ahead.
No, absolutely. I mean, I think that, you know, it's going to be – one of the great questions is, did you, you know, the teams that were really hot, you know, like the Flyers, when everything stopped, and then there's teams like the Penguins that weren't playing very well, Does it all sort of restart? And, you know, when we start watching them play, will it feel like, you know, a typical October, early November where, you know what I mean, there's so many just different variables? Or, like you said, because it's an extension of the season, will teams still sort of be in that mode? It's going to be really interesting to see how that all plays out, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a fascinating tournament. You know, I think that certainly it was a factor that the Penguins made so many trades just before they went on that little skid. And I think that that played into it, was trying to figure out how those pieces fit. But one advantage for the Penguins is when you look at the players they added right before the deadline, Connor Sherry was here before, so hopefully that helps ease that transition a little bit. And then Patrick Marleau is a real veteran, and he knows what playoff hockey is all about, so hopefully he'll have himself ready to go and be able to fit in a little bit, you know, be able to contribute and help the Penguins get back on track, what they weren't able to do before that break. So I think that, the types of players that they added will definitely help. But you know, like we've been saying all along, Paul, yeah, no one knows exactly what to expect with this unique year and the strange circumstances.
Yeah, not at all. Well, Mike, I really appreciate you taking some time, buddy, and hope we can do it here soon. Now, one last thing. Has there been any discussion about what they're going to do with media guys trying to cover the league?
Yeah, Paul, that's still one of my biggest questions as well. You know, I don't know whether I'm going to be going to Vegas for you know, a couple weeks or a couple months, or if I'm going to be sitting here on my couch covering it from home. So, you know, it's a month away right now from potentially resuming, and I still am a little bit in the dark myself. So hopefully I'm there. That'll be fun, and hopefully I'll be able to bring some good access to Pittsburgh sports fans for sure.
All right, Mike. Well, we'll see how it all plays out. But thanks, my man. I appreciate it.
Hey, anytime, Paul. Thanks so much for having me on.
All right, that's Mike DeFabo of the Post-Gazette on Paul Zeiss. It's 93.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.